Well, now to everyday economics and the way of the will. If you're in a position to or want to leave money or assets to your children, how are you thinking of doing it? The warm hand of giving or the cold one? That is, while you're alive or after you've gone. Baby boomers apparently are increasingly going for the former, giving while they're still alive. Helping their kids now is a growing trend. The boomers apparently also represent the most cashed up generation in this country ever. But what do you need to think about if you want to give to your kids? Now, Beena Brown joins us, personal finance writer and contributor to the Australian Financial Review's Smart Money section. Welcome back to Life Matters, Beena.
Morning, Natasha.
Good to have you back here.
Thank you.
Something is going on in the wills of Australia. What's happening that's different to what might have happened in the past?
Well, look, apparently, you know, Australia's on the cusp of the biggest intergenerational wealth transfer in history. We've got a whole lot of cashed-up baby boomers. Most of them would recognise, probably, that a lot of their wealth is tied up in property. But rather than leave money in a will, as perhaps previous generations have, they're actually recognising that their children need help now rather than later.
People have tried to put figures on this, the sort of scale of wealth, and there's always an exception to the rule. There will be baby boomers listening who are really struggling right now and don't have a property and don't have the sort of scale of assets we're talking about. But what are some of the figures being bandied around?
Well, one social demographer's figures point to the people approaching their 60s, so the baby boomers, having a net worth, a combined net worth of $3 trillion, blimey, which averaged over households would be about $1.2 million in assets. And as I said, most of it probably tied up in property.
So what are baby boomers considering now that they might not have in previous generations?
Well, first of all, no surprise to anybody that the cost of housing is skyrocketing. It's getting harder for kids to get a deposit together for a house. We've talked about school fees before, and people may just have enormous mortgages. So they're recognising this, and they're looking at how they can help their kids now rather than later. So generally, these would be people who have saved enough, and they're going into retirement with a healthy nest egg, given everything being equal. There's no way they're really going to spend everything that they've accumulated. So they're able to help people, you know, while they're alive, rather than, as I say, leave it in their will, which wills kick in when somebody dies.
Mm. And then you don't get to see the benefits or the joy that that might bring your children. But there must be quite a bit to weigh up here. I mean, even if you've got a healthy nest egg, fortunate that you are, you may need the money at some point, or you may want to spend the money rather than give it to your children.
That's the other thing. I mean, the other thing that people have, research people have done into baby boomers is we do know they are good at spending it. At it. So that not only have they, I guess, built up this healthy pool of assets, you know, often in property, but they are also very good at spending it. So there's sort of two things happening. Baby boomers, they would often have adult kids still living at home. So they're helping those people in a different way, I suppose. They're assisting maybe with study debt, they're, you know, paying some of the household expenses, they're helping by living at home, kids are able to save a deposit. But they're also, so they're giving with a, you know, the warm hand while they're in the house, etc. But then they're also making it very clear that when you're gone, when you're finally on your two feet, don't expect anything, you know, that's it. We've helped you while you're young.
You've got your inheritance now. Don't expect us to give you another inheritance after we're gone.
That's right. That's right. Because the other generational change is that baby boomers tend to downsize. So where once the beneficiaries might have been given an inheritance in the form of the property, the family home being passed on, this current generation of baby boomers are tending to downsize. And so as they free up capital, that's when they might help kids along the way. But then anything left is, as I say, they're going to have a great time.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Or head off in the caravan as a grey nomad.
That's right.
And it's not just houses that they're helping with, house deposits. It might be, as you point out, study debt.
Yes, well, HECS debt in particular is not an easy thing to face life with. Neither is saving up, you know, up for a deposit. And the other thing I have heard about is people helping people set up investment portfolios, things like that. So they might help them by, you know, giving them a small amount of money just to set up a share portfolio, just to start them on their way.
Let's look at some of the tricky and sticky situations that can arise here. For example, a parent might give a living inheritance, so to speak, to their children, only to find that they confront major health issues down the track, for example. They haven't thought through every consequence. They might need the money back.
Yes, well, I mean, that would be, you know, a very sad situation and one that you wouldn't want to face. So anything that you, I guess, are thinking about giving away or helping with, and it doesn't, I mean, let's face it, it doesn't have to be hundreds of thousands. It can be, you know, small amounts of money, but it has to be excess to requirements, really. It involves a bit of crystal ball gazing. I mean, nobody can tell what's going to happen to their health, but some good planning might help. And people can be very frugal, and we know from inheritances long gone that people sock money away. So this is money that you really don't think you're going to need. The other way, the kids taking the money could think of it more of as a loan. It's on loan to them until their parents die, or and hopefully prepared to step in should anything happen. But yeah. Gee, I don't know if you'd want to
that's a conversation.
Rely on that one.
But that's a conversation you have to have. And that question
Absolutely.
Of making it a loan, a kind of permanent loan that might never need to be paid back, well, that's an issue in the cases of parents, for example, who want to be sure that the money goes to their child and not a child's spouse that they might subsequently divorce from or separate from. So that's another way of, I mean, that's quite an important question too, isn't it? Who's getting the money?
That's right. I mean, given the very high rates of divorce and marriage breakdown, if you are giving money to one of your kids that is going to get married, there is every chance that, and it's going to a house in particular, say, there is every chance that if that marriage failed, that you know, early inheritance could end up divided in a divorce settlement. Obviously, you don't want that to happen, so there are ways around that. It's very important to document everything. You would set out if there were any forms of repayments or the fact there are no repayments. And you might also, you know, mention how it would be handled in the case of an estate settlement, so down the track. But, you know, documentation can really help here, and it would just outline the terms of the loan and make it clear to everybody what was intended. And if they were really worried, then the parent could take a share of the property as extra protection. Therefore, if it was sold, you know, they would definitely get their share of the money back.
Yes. Now, the other thing is, this giving to the next generation isn't just about having wads of money. Sometimes people want to do it when they don't have wads of money. Be sure, you know, give assets to their children. There's something that they need to be wary of if they're on a pension or a part pension. What is that?
That's right. Centrelink has very strict gifting rules. So anybody who's on a part pension or a pension are restricted by how much they can give away. Otherwise, it impacts on how the pension calculations are done. So you're actually giving away your assets in the hope of getting more pension. You can't actually do that. So a single person or a couple can give away assets up to $10,000 each year without consequence. And then there's a further rule that you can't give away more than $30,000 over 5 years. So it's important not to
otherwise, your pension will be compromised.
Absolutely. They'll add it back to the asset amount, and it could easily reduce the amount of the pension that you get. And, you know, that could seriously disturb somebody's cash flow situation.
Are there cases where it's not good to help your adult children financially before you're dead?
Absolutely. I mean, I think probably one of the things, we should have pointed out that, saving money is a really fundamental part about learning about finances. And so one of the things I think you absolutely wouldn't want to do is help an adult child pay off any serious debt or credit card bills, things like that. They learn absolutely nothing from that. So, you know, where something can be learnt from helping people build something like a share portfolio or a deposit on a house and teach them about saving, nothing is learnt from the process of paying off debts.
You think, though, Bina Brown, also that parents can teach children how to be altruistic by this sort of early inheritance. How?
Yeah, well, a couple of years ago, actually, there were some changes made to the way people can set up charitable funds within a family. So, again, you don't have to be have to have lots of money, but then there are a couple of different ways people set up sort of family trusts. So what you're really doing is teaching your kids how to give to others less fortunate. You hear of those stories, you know, where people open the will and they've left everything to the local cat home or maybe the Salvation Army. You can take the surprise out of something like that by setting up one of these charitable foundations and involving the kids in how that money is spent, which organisations should get the money. They might become involved in the organisation. So it's just it's a tax effective way for the giver to hand on money to for another purpose, I suppose. Mm. They get a tax deduction when they set up one of these things and any donations they make. And they get to see the benefits and discuss with their kids, you know, how family money is going to be spent.
Yeah, that's a really interesting option, family charitable foundations. Well, I'll be very interested to hear from Life Matters listeners on what they are planning to do, either kids or adults. I'd like to hear from you. Beena Brown, thanks so much for joining us for Everyday Economics again this week.
Thanks, Natasha.
Beena Brown, personal finance writer and contributor to the Australian Financial Review's Smart Money section.